Our lesson on this holy day comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Hear God's word. At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices that they had prepared. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of Master Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. And then out of nowhere, it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. And the women were awestruck, and they bowed down in worship. And the men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in the cemetery? He's not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were all still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners and killed on a cross and in 3 days rise up?" And then they remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and broke the news of all this to the 11 and the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles. But the apostles didn't believe a word of it. They thought they were making it all up. But Peter jumped to his feet and ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in and he saw a few grave clothes, that's all. And he walked away puzzled, shaking his head. May God give us wisdom and understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Not long ago, there was a story that appeared in the Minneapolis St. Paul Star Tribune, written by reporter John Tevlin. At first read, the story was no big deal. In fact, the kind of story that's just a little bit too common in our news today. Seems that there were these three boys around 17 years old. They stole this old car, trashed it, and they ended up in a juvenile detention center. But here's where the story takes a twist. It seems that the story was owned by a woman named Sally Packard, a 76-year-old woman who relied heavily on that 89 Dodge to get her to places that were important to her, like to Mass every day, and to the doctor 3 times a week, and to other things that she needed to do to stay independent. And now the car was gone, and with it some very personal special items that were in the car. She had been waiting for about 7 months for the trial of one of those young men because she had something that she wanted to say to him. And so when she got to meet the boy, she started with this quote: "When we forgive, we don't deny the hurt that we've received. We don't deny that it was wrong, but we acknowledge that there is more to the offender than the offense." Not what he was expecting to hear. And she went on further. You see, she had had a history of being a foster parent to over 50 young boys and girls. And as she had gotten to know them and heard their stories, it made her very aware of the fact that we all have a story. And many of us have grown up in situations that are far from perfect. Many of us as kids, increasingly now in this generation in fact, grow up with parents who are working so hard and so frantically just to earn a living, to pay the bills, that in many cases kids are having to raise themselves. I still remember that I started babysitting at the age of 10 years old to help pay for my own clothes as a kid. I remember coming home from school by myself, and my babysitter was the television set, and watching old movies that did not always send helpful messages. But I had a mom and a stepdad who were doing their best to put food on the table. And part of the time, we were living at below the poverty level, so that food was literally rationed out for every meal. There were 5 of us, including my stepbrother and stepsister. And my stepbrother suffered from different mental difficulties, challenges, that made life even more challenging for all of us. And my stepfather, during that time, had had polio growing up, and it was confined to a wheelchair. There were many challenges during that time, but also many lessons, because I had people in my life who cared about me, and who, like this woman, tried to keep me pointed in the right direction. Well, the story goes on. She tells this young man how she personally knows that many of these kids have not had the direction that they needed, and sometimes they get into the wrong crowd, sometimes they end up with problems with addictions. There can be any number of things that go on. And she said, "I would like this boy to know that I pray for him and the other 2 boys. I pray for them daily, and I want them to know that it's not too late for them." And she went on, "I'd also like for these boys to think of their own families. Would they want their families to experience what I have? Again, let the boy know that I sincerely care about him and I'm praying for him and for his redirection and rehabilitation. I want him to know that a good life awaits him if he will just choose that new path. God bless." And then she asked the judge if she could give the boy 2 stones. One said, "Hope," and the other said, "A special prayer for you." The boy took the stones, and he began to sob. "The hurt," he said, "I never thought of that." That's not a surprise, is it? Because when kids are being kids, they're often not aware of the impact of their behavior. He said, "I'm really sorry. I regret it. I'm sorry for all the hurt I caused you." And she responded, "I care. Lots of people care about you." And then she did something that no one in that courtroom had seen before. She reached over and she hugged him. Well, I don't think there was a dry eye in that entire courtroom. For many years, people in that courtroom had seen many angry young people who had committed crimes, and many angry adults against whom the crimes had been committed. It was an ugly place to be, a hopeless place to be in many cases. And here was someone who chose to do it differently. Finally, the judge, who was known for being very stern, very no-nonsense, spoke. She said, "I think many of us have been doing this work for a very, very long time. I've never seen such a powerful moment in my career. The teen's recognition that you had an impact on somebody, that this is not just an anonymous hurt, this is a personal hurt. Well," she said to the boy, "it just so happened that by chance you chose as a victim somebody who can change your life." The woman amazingly didn't want him to pay any restitution for the vehicle because he'd lost his job. She didn't have the money either, but she figured she'd find a way. And she was concerned for him. And later after the hearing, when she was talking about her experience, she said, "When the police told me that the thieves were underage, I just kept praying for them." She recalled the hurt in the teen's eyes as she spoke in court. And she said, "He was hugging me so hard, I couldn't believe it." She felt that somehow she was led by God in that moment. And that moment became a God moment for all who were there. My friends, Easter Sunday, it means different things to different people. But for many, it's hard to always connect the God thing with the life thing. A lot of it sounds great on paper, but how do you live it? How do you apply it? And it's significant to see that even the disciples, even the people who walked with Jesus, who lived with Jesus for years, who were with him on a day-to-day basis, being taught by him, seeing the miracles, seeing the healings, seeing the changed lives, that even they were totally clueless. They had no idea. All they knew was this man who had impacted their lives so strongly was dead. It was done, they thought. And so they went about things the way they always had. They reverted back to the old, preparing the spices for his burial, forgetting everything he taught and told them, and not able to believe even when they saw an empty tomb. Today, 2,000 years later, how much more difficult is it for us to always make sense of those teachings, to apply those teachings, to live those teachings, to trust them? Because that's really what it comes down to. Too often, we live our lives in a state of total confusion, in a state of fear, looking at what we see as this ideal universe that must be out in heaven somewhere, and then comparing that with the reality of our day-to-day life that just seems so dog-eat-dog. What we don't realize is that we have a power to make change. As we believe, as we claim the good news that he shared with us, we have options, we have choices. We don't have to live like the dog-eat-dog world. We don't have to claim that world as our own. True, when we step apart from it, we may feel like aliens. But see, that's why we come together as a church family. That's why Jesus pulled disciples together. That's why he created that group. Not just about worship, not just about coming and saying memorized prayers and memorized songs. No, he wanted it as something vital. He sent them out with just the shirt on their back to prove to them that they didn't need the stuff, that there was something better, something more satisfying, something more inspiring that was available to them. This last week, I saw something that was going around on Facebook about people going into coffee shops and other places and not just paying for their own food, but paying extra that could be used for those coming into the shop who had no money or had little. And they were talking about, those who saw this article and reading about it, were talking about their own experiences. And as it was almost more interesting reading the comments, because each one had a story to share about a time when they'd done some seemingly little thing that had a huge impact. Like one was sharing about standing in a grocery line and how someone paid the cash register. They paid the person working there an extra $25, and they said, put it towards the person behind me. And each one did that, adding and adding, until I think they ended up with over $150. And about that time, the person who came into line, obviously struggling and poor, credit card bounced, check bounced, there she was needing to get these groceries for her family. And the cashier said, I have exactly the amount you need to cover your food. And it was taken care of. Today is not just about a special annual holiday. It's not just about tradition. It's a reminder that we can be the change in the world. That Jesus came and lived and died for us because you have incredible value. Value that you may not even realize. He came to make you realize that even if you've stumbled, even if you've blown it, that's not the end, that's just the beginning. He came to remind you that each of us can make a concrete difference in the world just by being willing, just by spreading love instead of nastiness and revenge. He came to remind us that life can be different. And it can start now and start here and be spread. And he came with a question. Are you willing? What will you choose? My prayer for each of us today is that when you walk out the door, you will carry that hope with you. That when you walk out the door, that you will have a desire to make some changes in your own life that will impact other lives. That when you walk out that door, you'll be ready to find those little ways that you can spread the love. Let us pray. Almighty God, our world seems so crazy, but we know that with you in our lives, if we take it seriously, we can be part of the change. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.